Welcome into the Train with the Best podcast, the podcast by Fit Pros for Fit Pros. I am Craig Hoffman, a media and fitness professional.
And I'm Chris Gores, master trainer and international presenter.
And our guest today is Dr. Kwidjo Owusu-Achau, who is the head of sports hip and arthroscopy at Ortho Virginia, the sports hip team doctor at University of Richmond, and the deputy editor at the Clinical Orthopedics and Related Research Journal. Dr. O is what we're going to call him.
That's Dr. O,
appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me, fellas. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you.
So despite your expertise in hips, we're actually going to be talking a lot about the Achilles today. Obviously, most recently, high profile Achilles injury in the Super Bowl. Freakish. It's not even a play incident with Dre Greenlaw taking the field. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But Chris, you and Dr. O have been working together for a long time. I'd love for you to give the audience a little bit more about y'all's relationship and why you wanted Dr. O to come on the show.
So Dr. O and I met last year working with a lot of the same patients and clients. A lot of the athletes that were going to him for surgery and for advice on what to do with their hips, what to do with their knees. They were coming to see me for the training, and we built a relationship and a lot of trust where he knew that he could refer patients out to me and to Onyx, and they were going to get the care that they needed to be able to get them back onto the field. As we know that there's a very big difference between return to motion and return to performance, right? So to be able to bring that that full enclosure of table to turf, as we call it, that was something that we've built with him. And since then, there's been a number of athletes that we've worked with. And even to this day, I just got a phone call from one of our clients' patients that is looking for some advice on how to get their son back onto the field this fall for football. So it's a great relationship, and we're blessed to have him as part of Team Onyx.
Dr. O, from your side of it, what made you go like, oh, yeah, I can trust this guy?
Oh, for sure. I mean, a lot of the same things he just said. I mean, you know, patients come to me looking for a lot of them for that elite level of sports care. And I think it's not a secret that it's a team effort getting someone back on the field after any kind of injury, be it surgical or non-surgical. You know, obviously, when it comes down to the surgical aspects of things, we got that down here. But there's a next level that we were really missing outside of your basic rehabilitation. And over there at Onyx, Chris, and what they're doing over there is phenomenal. What they're doing is so much higher level than anything else in this area in terms of the quality of movement restoration and preparation for returning to sport, which is really where it comes down to preventing the next injury. So, I mean, I've just been blessed to be able to have him in my corner, someone who I, like he said, I can trust with my patients. I know they're getting the best when they go over there. I know they're not going to go too fast, too slow. So, you know, the synergy between us has been outstanding.
Yeah. Hey, we don't call it the Train with the Best podcast for nothing. That's because Chris is here. I just try to keep the things moving. All right. So have you guys actually had an Achilles patient that you've worked on together?
Not together.
So we did, but not before we knew each other, right? Because you were working with LJ. Is that right?
Oh, true.
Yeah. So LJ did his Achilles, who it all comes together. I'm sitting in the Benedictine weight room right now, and Benedictine is where LJ went to high school to play his basketball. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he was an overseas pro. I think he did his surgery with you. He was working out with us. And so we have had some Achilles work together just, indirectly.
Yeah. You just didn't
actually do LJ surgery, but I mean, he did come through to me later on just in terms of, you know, best ideas for rehab. And gotcha. What happened was I told him, hey, man, you know, there's this spot Onyx I'm starting to hear about. And he was like, oh, Chris, I've been knowing Chris. I was like, man, small world.
Yeah. That's funny. Yep. So, Dr. O, let's dive into this in terms of the Achilles stuff. Like, I guess let's start with Greenlaw, and then maybe we can start specific and then kind of zoom out from there. Like, we all saw what happened on television. Like, his foot hits the turf. He goes down. What you see in that video is probably very different because of your training and background than what we see. Like, how does something like that happen? An elite athlete in the middle of a game, he's fully warm. It's not like he's going to make a play. He's just running out on the field. Like, how does something like that happen? And then if you could put it in any larger context that it may exist in that you're aware of through the things that you're working on, researching and reading.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, first off, you know, blessings to him, hoping for, you know, the best recovery to him coming back from that devastating injury, the Achilles. So, I mean, I think starting from the anatomy in the background, right, that Achilles is really the cable connecting your calf musculature down to your foot. So any kind of explosive push off movement, that's going to be what your Achilles is really inclined for, right? Really pushing off. And so I think the reason why we've seen kind of an uptick has something to do with the way that we're training people, because our explosive movement training has improved really, you know, exponentially in the last 10 years. It's people just are built different now. But at the same time, there is, you know, a mechanical limitation to what your body can handle. So going back to his situation, I have to imagine there was some aspect of damage that had been happening over the course of time, right? A lot of times you'll see athletes talk about, I've got Achilles tendonitis. And what is that? That's, you know, inflammation up in the tendon around the Achilles. But what that can also relate to is little micro tears, tiny little injuries that kind of build up over time. So I have to imagine that was going on to some extent with him. And then finally you saw the final, you know, the final thing we all saw on TV. You may recall some other people we've seen that kind of thing happen to. You remember when KD had his, mm-hmm. right? There was an initial kind of calf, gastrocnemius is the name of the muscle, gastrocnemius muscle injury, where we kind of, you know, shook off or whatever. And then the big one happened next, right? A lot of times it's kind of this attritional or gradual thing that happens. And then one final, you know, thing breaks the camel's back, so to speak.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you saw that with KD trying to come back too early from the gastroc injury. We saw Aaron Rodgers go down this year. We saw Kirk Cousins go down this year. My buddy Oguchi Onyewu also did his. Our director of personal training, Corey Broadnax, did his. Like, so we're seeing this over and over again. And like you said, it's like at some point something's got to give, right? Like, whatever we strengthen, and you touched on this with the explosive training that we're doing, we're so much better at teaching biomechanics now and teaching how to generate force into the ground. Whatever strength we're creating on one side, we're creating a vulnerability on the other side, right? And the important thing is to be aware of that. You know, as we're strengthening one thing, what other vulnerabilities are we creating in this program, you know, and what do we need to be aware of?
I mean, that's right on point. I'd have to agree with that completely. There's a give and take with everything, right? Everything's a balance. I mean, in terms of, you know, kind of quelling this epidemic, because I think epidemic is the right term. I mean, the next step is really, you know, full analysis of movement, which is something I know you, Chris, really specialize in. And increasingly in orthopedics, we're seeing that there's a need to understand the three-dimensional aspect of movement on top of the pure biomechanics, right, of a given tendon or ligament, right? So what aspect of the calf musculature is involved in exerting force down to the ankle? How much is the hip involved? My forte. How much is the knee involved, right? The entire thing is one kinetic chain from top to finish. Y'all know that. But what aspect of those things can really affect all the way down to the Achilles, right? From my standpoint, I mean, I see things neglected such as like the posterior chain gluteus, the abductors, right? And people don't think, oh, why would my hip affect my Achilles? But look, man, if you're weak up top in the hips, that's the lighthouse of the body. That's everything all the way down, right? And so abnormal force is going all the way through the rest of that leg. And it only needs but a few more times, right, to build up. You hit just the wrong movement like we saw, and then there's the catastrophic injury. Same thing with the Achilles, same thing with the ACL, same story.
So in other words, because the hip is not, and the musculature around the hip is not carrying its weight, the stress is higher where it's not supposed to be. And that's causing ultimately the ultimate a breakthrough point in stress on the tendon. Cause obviously tendons don't work in the way muscles do. They either function or they don't. They stay attached or they don't. They move or they don't. Right. They keep things attached or they don't. Whereas musculature takes on varying levels of stress based off of use and how those forces are interacting in the proper or improper ratios. That's kind of what you're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different ratios to look at. Your quad to hamstring ratio, of course, your glute to adductor ratio. All these things need to be analyzed. And we really need to do a better job of connecting the dots about how, you know, structures proximal to the area in question are involved in the actual injury. Another thing about the Achilles that doesn't get talked about enough is the role that hormonal changes plays in it. So there's been a study connecting Achilles tears to decreased testosterone, which happens to, unfortunately, all of us with time, right? And so that connection is something that we haven't talked about enough, right? Because increasingly, what are we seeing? People are playing sports at a higher level for a longer time, right? And so whereas you may not have ever even encountered that decrease in testosterone, so to speak, while you're playing peak, right? That can happen as early as your 30s, as early as your 30s. So we have people playing, I mean, not commonly, but into their 40s at this point, right? So the conversation needs to be had about the role that this testosterone and hormonal changes play in your Achilles.
So with that, have they been able to draw, because like I could see where there's a correlation, because also the more that you've used something over time, because you're older, like you're older, and that's going to cause wear and tear over time. But have they actually drawn a causation in the research to the testosterone level itself to the Achilles being vulnerable?
Yeah, that's a great question. A correlation for sure between the testosterone itself. And the funny thing is, it's not super clear even that supplementation changes that. And that's still questionable. So some of it needs further research as it pertains to that. So certainly I'm not saying everyone needs to be on testosterone supplements to prevent Achilles. That's wild. But I mean, what I'm saying is it's a multifactorial thing. We need to look at it at all angles. It's not just, you know, did you take an injury? How did you plant your foot? Right. It's biomechanical. It's endocrine. It's hormonal. It's everything. The whole body's one system.
The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Momentous. And Chris, I remember when Momentous was just a company with three protein blends, and then that was it. Now, pretty much anything in the supplement game you can get at livemomentous.com.
That's right. If you go to livemomentous.com right now, you might not even recognize some of these products. And for me, I'm definitely going to change my monthly subscription. I've been getting the Brain Drive. I've been getting the Elite Sleep. I've been getting the Collagen. And it looks like I need to up my game a little bit and take a look at some of these products like the Alpha.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's great about Momentous' website, which you can go to right now, livemomentous.com, is that they also have a lot of descriptions and information on best usage, best practices. It's not just like, hey, here's all this stuff. It's like, hey, are you looking for this? Well, then you should get that. So any supplementation needs you may have, they've got you covered. And it's stuff that, like, look, if you want the four-hour description on what Tongat Ali does, you go to the Huberman Lab podcast. They got you covered. That's not us. But it might be something that you need. So go check it out. And here's what we do have for you. We have a discount. LiveMomentous.com. Use TWTB at checkout for a special discount. TWTB is in Train with the Best at LiveMomentous.com. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Jocku. And we've been partners with Jocku for basically a year now, Chris. Can't believe how much the time has flown by. And it's still just as spectacular as it was when we discovered it.
It's plain and simple. Good, reliable timing on your speed drills, on your multi-directional drills. You know, how many of us who are speed coaches just need a good, accurate time out there to verify, one, the results that we're getting, and two, the trends that we're going in, right? So this is a great product for anybody who is a speed trainer or anybody who works with athletes. And now you're even able to track vertical jump, which is such a valuable tool when you're taking a look at somebody's program. So make sure you check out Jocku. And Craig, what's the code that they should be using?
You go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB. You get a 20% discount on all Jocku products, so the muscle blasters and everything as well. But yeah, I mean, I used to always love coming down to Onyx, testing my vertical on the Vertec machine. Now I don't even have to do that. You don't need a big, giant, high ceiling to have a Vertec and be able to extend it up. You just put the Jocku on your wrist, set it up. There you go. It's all cell phone app based. So go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB. Get 20% off the Jocku Speed and all other Jocku products. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by BlazePod. And Chris, what's so great about BlazePod is you can use it in every part of the workout. You can use it to help warm up. You can use it in kind of your main parts of the workout. You can use it as a finisher. What's your go-to recently with BlazePod?
Yeah, for me, what I love using BlazePod for is just keeping our athletes engaged. So, you know, you can get into the rut of the workout where you're doing time sets. If you've got 30-second plank, a 30-second wall sit or whatever. But if you add BlazePods to that, now that 30 seconds doesn't seem like it's so long. And it keeps the clients a little bit more engaged, a little bit more motivated to perform well. And it's something that just adds a lot of fun to the session.
No doubt. We could all use a little attention for our inner child. And who doesn't love stuff that lights up? And oh, by the way, it's an elite training tool, the best of all worlds. And of course, we got the hookup for you. Use the code TWTB at blazepod.com for 15% off your order. That's TWTB, as in train with the best, for 15% off at blazepod.com.
We see something like this happen. Everybody wants to rush to whatever answer or agenda that they want to push, right? And like, for me, I just like to ask these questions because it's like, how do we find the answer? How do we ask the right questions versus, you know, pounding our chest about, see, I told you if they would have just done this, this or this, right?
Yeah, taking the testosterone pills.
Right.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by.
Yeah. And testosterone was one of those that we knew a little bit about, because typically the Achilles tear is the weekend warrior. It's the weekend warrior injury, right? It's the 40-year-old guy who's playing pickup basketball and they tear their Achilles. That's the typical thing. We don't see it typically in young athletes. We don't see it typically in female athletes, right? Especially young female athletes. But that's happening now. And the question that I have is, you know, Dr. O, earlier you talked about if the hip is weak, then the Achilles has to compensate, and there's not a whole lot else that it can draw help from, right? Like, if we're trying to build a healthy ACL, we can build quads and hamstrings and gastroc and glutes, and that's going to help the ACL. Whereas in the Achilles, there's not a lot of help coming. It's only coming from the gastroc and the soleus, maybe, right? So my question is this: if a weak hip can lead to a compromised Achilles, can a strong hip also do that on the opposite end? If I'm producing so much force from my hips, if I'm producing so much force and transferring that through my knee, and now is it the Achilles that's the weak end? You know, similar to what we see with somebody who's quad dominant, right? We talk about somebody who has quad dominant and there's too strong in the quads, and it's not balanced out with the hamstring, and that's compromising the hamstring, right? Is that something that could be possible?
You know, I think that's a great point. I'll probably separate out some of the components of the hip, because I do think a lot of people, I know you've seen this, are kind of hip flexor dominant, right? And so I could certainly see like hip flexor dominance setting you up for a situation like that, right? Too much anterior load, suddenly you got compensation out the back, right?
Got it.
What I think would probably be the most protective in my mind, and this needs to be studied further for sure, but posterior chain gluteus abduction, right? So we know that the abductors, they effectively decrease joint reactive force up at the hip, but really the hip is the start of the whole limb, right? So if you decrease joint reactive force from the start, from the beginning, you're decreasing the load the rest of it takes distally.
Got it. Doctor, real quick, can you define joint reactive force for us in layman's terms?
Sure. So, you know, think about the moment arm from gravity. Every time you take a step down through the center of your body, right, force is progressing through. And so from each step that you take, there's a moment that is generated for each joint, right? So there's a moment of inertia that's generated towards your midline up through your femur with every step that you take. And studies have actually shown you can decrease that inertial force moment by strengthening your abductors. That's your gluteus medius and minimus, right?
Right.
And that gets neglected a lot. So a lot of people, lay people, right, will say, you know, hey, I'm strong in my glutes. I do squats. I do leg press. My glutes are strong. I turn them over to the side. I say, keep your leg up. And boom, another happened. So that's what I'm talking about when it comes to joint reactive force.
Gotcha.
Got it.
Chris?
Yeah, no. It's very interesting, you know, the way that we absorb force, the way that we create force. And, you know, like I said, it's one of those things that we need to study and study with an open mind. To me, it's going in there with the right questions and not the right answers, because it's like, sometimes if you go in there and you think and you have a prejudice on what you think it is, then everything that you research and everything that you test and everything that you try out is going to be with the agenda of proving your prejudice right. That's right. And that's the thing that we have to remove in something like this, is like, hey, let's go in here with a blank piece of paper and let's consider everything. Is the hip too weak? Is the hip too strong? Is the knee too weak? Is the knee too strong? How does core strength matter in this? How does testosterone matter in this? How do biomechanics matter? Like, are we ignoring the signs that are leading up to this? Because like you said, th- there's no way that this was the first time that something occurred that would have, you know, set off the warning signs, right? So how do we deal with those warning signs, and what is the training protocol that we can follow, not to make anybody bulletproof because we can't do that, but to at least reduce these risks of injuries and just be aware of, if I'm strengthening one thing, am I creating a vulnerability somewhere else, right?
Right. It's balanced training. It's got to be. And what balance is, I think, like you said, needs that further level of research, for sure.
So if those are the right questions, obviously it needs more research. But to the best of our abilities right now, what's like the podcast version of the answers, right? Like, what are the things? I think the most interesting thing that we can have the audience walk away with is like, what are the warning signs? Because like, being when you prescribe and execute and plan a well-balanced training program, you're not just doing it for Achilles prevention. You're doing it for high performance. You're doing it for all injury prevention. As we talk about all the time, like, good movement does both things. It's the same side or opposite sides of the same coin. But specific to the Achilles, what are some of those warning signs? And if we see them, what do we do about them?
Yeah, I got that one. So, I mean, I'm going to start with the ultra basics. I know you're both movement specialists, but I mean, straight up, you take anybody and give them a gastroc stretch, I mean, they're gonna be tight as hell, your average person, right? So I mean, is that to start with, right?
If you've got me, gastroc, I'm the average person.
What's that?
I said it's me, I'm the average person. Yeah, good luck stretching my gastroc.
The gastroc hella tight, right, all the way down to the Achilles, and you're just setting yourself up. The next thing I'm going to say is, Chris made a great point about the weekend warrior. And just that lingo gets thrown around, but we're talking about someone who, you know, plays ball once a weekend, whatever, you know, doesn't really do much outside of that. And the name, the question when it comes to that relates to load progression. Like, how did you progress your load to get to where you're going? And what I see all too often, which I think is the key warning sign to me, is people who play to the point of fatigue, right, without having prepared appropriately. And that's for anybody's age. But certainly if you get into your 40s and you have a career and what have you, you don't have time for the same level of training as someone younger, right? So, I mean, the biggest thing to me is quick muscle fatigue, the anaerobic fatigue, right, in the muscle that leads to adverse movements and strange movements would then put abnormal forces over the tendons. So if you're feeling fatigued and you're not stopping to rest, you're not appropriately stretching, I think you're just setting yourself up, in my mind.
Chris, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I think when I take a look at the nature of an Achilles tear versus the nature of an ACL tear, like, an ACL tear happens during deceleration, during eccentric phase. The Achilles tear happens in acceleration, in the concentric phase. So that's like that's the first thing that I look at. All right, what's happening during plantar flexion that could possibly go wrong here? So I'm looking at everything. So that's a quick concentric in the gastroc and the soleus. That's a rapid eccentric in the anterior tibialis, which I think also gets ignored in all this, right? So, you know, and then I think about all the stuff that we do for knees. When we're trying to give somebody back into proper knee health, whether it be prehab or rehab, we're putting them into different positions so they can explore that. And we're teaching them how to load in different directions. We do crossover lunges. We do all kinds of things, right? Are we doing enough of that for the foot? Because I don't know the answer, but I can tell you that if you're following traditional strength and conditioning programs, we need to stretch the gastroc because people need that mobility. But are you always keeping the foot flat on the ground when we're doing squats and step ups and lunges? Do you also do heel elevated stuff? Do we do heel elevated stuff and move in different directions so you have to stabilize that? So those are the things that I think about when I look at that moment. What's the moment that Dr. O was talking about? What moment is happening in that Achilles tear, and what was supposed to happen that didn't happen?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think definitely you guys just brought up so many things that I think about with, you know, we all put it through the lens of like our own training. But, you know, I've started wearing like the barefoot shoes, the Vivo barefoots when I squat. And, you know, that does limit your range of motion compared to a squat shoe because your heel isn't elevated. But is it doing that for good, for, you know, making sure that everything in my leg is firing up? Is it making sure that the foot is actually having to grip the ground? And like, is that actually helping me long term, even if I'm not lifting as much weight? And Chris, that's something that we talked about on a podcast we recorded yesterday that's coming out next week, Time Travel.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's right.
But it's like, the point of lifting weights isn't to lift weights, like, unless you're a power lifter. Like, at that point, yes, you need to make sure that you are lifting the most weight possible, because that's the point of the sport. But the point of weightlifting is to get stronger, and getting stronger doesn't just mean like I put 225 on my back and we go. It's the little things in the foot, in the ankle, all the way up the shin, calf, front side, back side, anterior, posterior, abductors, adductors, all that stuff up the chain. And you know, making sure that you kind of hit all that along the way in your big lifts, but also then sometimes isolating down to the smaller stuff too. Anything else either you guys want to add on to the Achilles here? Any more questions?
I do want to throw one thing out there. The week of the Super Bowl, there was a lot made about San Francisco's practice field being too soft.
Yeah.
Right. And this is somebody who, if you're talking about Dre Greenlaw, he hasn't played a meaningful, like, he was off the last week of the season. He played one. He missed the first week of the playoffs. He played one game, and then there's 2 weeks in between that, the NFC Championship and a game. So you're talking about somebody who's competed really once on grass, mm-hmm. right? Over the course of a month, like this is the first time that he's really striking down in a while. And for that week leading up, he was on a soft surface. I'm just wondering if that's something that has to do with, you know, I'm reaching here probably, but like, it's just something that I remember.
No, man, I think that's got to be a part of it. All right. I mean, we know how quickly the body deconditions, right?
Yep.
I mean, and then you're changing terrain or changing the conditions under which you're playing. Right. I mean, those two come, that's a combination for something to happen. If you already have the micro trauma, like we're talking about, I mean, I could see it. I think that's down.
Yeah. I think of, you know, Chris, we talked a couple of months ago about the documentary that Arsenal did on the mm-hmm. women's ACL tears, starring Beth Mead and Viv Miedema. And one of the things they talked about in that doc is that there's not a lot of cleats designed for women's feet. Like, women mm-hmm. just wear men's cleats, and the shape of the foot is, you know, in general different. But I also think of like the shape of a football cleat, and like mm-hmm. They're very, very thin through certain parts of the foot. It puts mm-hmm. pressure in certain places that I would say is fairly unnatural. Like, I think all that stuff is relevant. The surface, the, you know, obviously the contact point, if a cleat gets caught and all of a sudden you're cockeyed for a second. I just think the craziest thing with him is like, yeah, you run onto the field with some amount of explosive power and you see him like jump up a little bit before, like he's clearly trying to get loose, get going. But mm-hmm. it wasn't like he took off after, you know, Isaiah Pacheco in the hole. Dude was running on the field. It's
yeah,
just,
he was running on the field.
And to me, Dr. O, that just speaks like there had to be some prior damage in there. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And if it wasn't, if he had walked onto the field, they would have said set hut. And the same thing certainly could have happened to him in a play.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think of like Jalen Phillips with the Dolphins, another one that happened this year in that same mm-hmm. kind of get off situation. Dr. O, this was great. We have to definitely have you back, especially if we have a hip topic for sure.
Oh, but, I love it.
You know, so much great stuff. And people want to rewind at the beginning of the episode, all the different places they can find, you know, obviously if they need to see you, that's one thing, but also read your work in the journal that you work for and any other places that you have content that people can check out, or is it really just go there?
No, you can check me out on Instagram, Dr. O for the 804. I have a YouTube channel as well called Level the Playing Field. We kind of go over topics related to, you know, sports injuries and spreading knowledge, decreasing health disparity and increasing equity as it pertains to sports medicine. And I mean, now since we're talking, we got to have y'all two on as well. So we'll make it happen. Exchange of ideas.
I love it. Let's do it.
Love it.
So we mentioned that podcast that we recorded yesterday that's coming out next week. Exciting announcement for me and Chris and I, talking about some stuff that I'm going to be taking on adjacent to the High Rocks world and the training that I do here in DC, or I'm going to start doing. Maybe that's a hint. And then we got, of course, all our NFL Combine content coming over the next month as well. So make sure you're subscribed. And our YouTube page is back active. We are putting these episodes out on video as well at Train with the Best. And of course, if you're listening to the pod and you're not subscribed, now's a good time. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening. And for Chris and Dr. O, I'm Craig. You're on the Train with the Best podcast.